Yes, sir.
Log Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome to the Bloody Knuckles Show. BK Show 1 on Twitter, presented by nobody. We're presented by ourselves. This is the relaunch, baby. We are going hard, and I know we said that in the past, but this is 2016, and we are going hard in the paint. I got my official co-host with the most on with me tonight, and we're going to be talking the world of MMA, and we're also going to talk a little Super Bowl, a little Colin Kaepernick getting a little transgender fever. She's got that transgender fever. Man, Kaepernick, you got to put that big nose somewhere else, brother. And all sorts of other crazy stuff, because, you know, that's how we do it on the Bloody Knuckle Show. Introducing the co-host with the most, the King of Rochester, the man that, you know, if you hear a nice soft pitch on the other line, if you own a business, shout out to my business, 319 Wine and Cheese, but if you hear it and he's trying to sell you a paychecks company, a payroll company, you know this is the top salesman in Rochester, New York, the King of Rochester. Yep, little B or whatever the rapper is. This is the King of Rochester, not you, with your one mixtape. Little Ito, looking like a burrito. But this is the man who taught Chael Sonnen how to trash talk, the man that said, Brock, it's all right, just put another needle in your butt, you won't get sick. The man who told Verdum in Vitor Belfort's smoothie shop, one day you will be heavyweight champion, and then you'll get out of a fight because your back aches a little bit because you're 49 years old. This is the man that says, Nick Diaz, middle fingers up, I don't give a fuck. Broncos defense, that's what's up. Rumble Johnson's about to fuck you up. Steven Thompson with some nunchucks. It is Andrew Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, what to do? Very excited to be back on, folks. And, you know, something that we haven't had in about a year, Ryan, we're going back to our patented schedule. It will be at 11 o'clock, 3 days a week. Maybe a couple.
Sure.
We're getting a couple cookies here and there. But, fans, folks, every Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday, we will be broadcasting live at 11. And I got to admit, Ryan, I'm pretty excited about this. And yet again, folks, your boy Andrew was almost fired. Somehow, I don't know how I haven't been fired from the BK show yet. But my life has become, you know, very mundane. As you know, when you've been doing a podcast for, shit, Ryan, 3 years? Is this year three now?
Yeah.
You know, we've been...
So.
You get in your zone. You know, my life is very mundane.
And we've had, looking back how successful some of the people that we've had on have become, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Daniel Strauss, just the name that pops off my head right away, right?
Even Dustin Jacoby, 3 straight knockouts in glory.
Ooh.
In the number one contender tournament in the next glory.
So, as you know, we're always bringing that heat, Rock, Ryan. But I'm pretty excited, you know. My life is mundane. I wake up every day at 6. I go to work. I get home at 5. I, you know, drink a glass of Kratom, and I do nothing. Then I go to bed, and I wake up, and I do it all again.
I got
to
tell the
fan.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
You know, I was going to say, it was interesting, you know, me and Ryan, we did have a little sit-down today. We were going to do a show last night. It's my fault Ryan hit me up, but I was already asleep. You know, I had my agent meet with his agent. There was some debating over the times.
we had a what do they call it in the NFL, 10, bargaining
Ryan.
Agreement. We had like
a CBA, collective bargaining agreement.
We had a free agency period. Andrew was getting shopped around to a couple other shows. I heard about that at the last second. You know, I threw him, you know, you could pick the other 2 days of the week other than Tuesday. That was my, you know, my offer. I told him, you know, when we get on the XFC jet, you can get first class, and I told him we'll be toasting champagne, and I'll get King Mo on the podcast at some point. And that was the final straw. I think that's what got him.
Well, what finally got me is when I just saw Tsunami coming back.
Which all the fans out there who don't remember Tsunami, go back, and you would be horrified that I was almost at that option for a co-host. My God, could have been the end. When the Bloody Knuckle Show on Twitter is at its highest amount of followers, to bring Tsunami back would literally be a tsunami. I think I would wake up and my followers.
Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, what? I think Dominic Cruz is a great champion. Tsunami, what do you think about that? I think he's great, too. What do you think? What? I got to tell the fans this. I think one of the best steroids in life, I got to say this. I felt like shit the last few months. I just had a major infection on my foot from kickboxing. Went to the hospital. They put me on all sorts of antibiotics. I actually had an ear infection too. One day I put something in my ear and blood came out. I was like, all right, something's wrong with my life. And from 2 weeks of bed rest, I'm not going to lie, on bed rest, I watched Orange is the New Black. I had a pack of cigarettes. I picked up smoking a little bit because bed rest, you get so bored, you just pick up habits. Picked up prison workouts and just getting swole. But at one point, I felt like a lesbian sitting there smoking cigarettes in my bed, watching Orange is the New Black. I said, all right, I got to get up, start working out again. And I got to say, if you need a life-changing experience, get on a large amount of antibiotics. Because I feel like a superhuman. I could stand outside naked. I'm not cold at all. It's like my body is working at 1,000% right now. And my whole life goals all of a sudden have just changed. Like, I'm going to do what I want to do. My brain feels clear. I gotta admit, Andrew, this is the best I've felt in a long time. And you know, me and you have done some stuff that, you know, makes us
not
feel
legal.
Good. Yeah, but this is better. I feel like I actually meditated today. That's what level I'm on right now. And I am listening to a lot of the Joe Rogan podcasts. That might be it. You know, all those ideas are thrown out there. But I don't know. I feel great, and I'm ready to get into this show because, you know, I love to rant about the UFC. And honestly, I wasn't too entertained by the Super Bowl, but we're going to talk about that, too. Do you want to start
right,
with a little UFC?
First thing I gotta bring up, a little MMA. It's something we have to at least get our thoughts on air. It's been the rumbling, but Bellator just made a huge power move, Ryan.
Oh, I wanted to talk about this. Glad you remembered.
Not only did they bring old Chris Leben out of jail and out of retirement,
I love
it. I
love
it.
Just to see him fight.
That's a big move. Maybe the guy they'll have him fight against. Benson Henderson. I mean, Ryan, this is a guy who, if he didn't go, could compete for not only, you know, the lightweight belt, but this is a guy you could see maybe even, you know, fighting Robbie.
He's a top 10 welterweight
belt
and lightweight in the UFC.
He might be a top 10, maybe not top 10, but top 15 overall pound-for-pound fighter on that roster.
And Benson Henderson, on any day, you can't tell me. Eddie Alvarez, the number one contender at lightweight in the UFC. I mean, you could say Khabib, but he's always hurt. You can't tell me, like, if you matched him up, I don't even know. I know they might have fought considering the UFC's lightweight division, but I feel like Benson Henderson on any day could beat half of the UFC lightweights. You know what I'm saying? I know he's making his debut at welterweight, but I think that's just because, you know, Ill Will has come out and he's being a baby. And, I think Benson getting that title shot right away at welterweight is just such a big move for Bellator.
It was huge, Ryan. And tell me this, do you think Bellator, Scott Coker, that crafty bastard,
so
really with UFC, you see favoritism? with certain fighters. I hate to admit it, but, you know, Dana, I mean, I'm sorry, he has his company guys. He likes certain fighters get the short end of the stick. And, you know, we've never been quiet about that. And with the pay, how can Bellator continue to keep this success, you know, keep the ball rolling and strike again while the iron's hot?
Let me break this down for the fans who are uneducated, Zuffa zombies, stuff like that. I'm about The Walking Dead, Rick your ass, like he did the wolves in that trailer. Basically, let me just give you a little figure. Brandon Schaub, who was a middle of the class, like not even top 10 heavyweight in the UFC, said before the Reebok deal, for every fight, he would make six figures in sponsorships. And these are companies that have built their company for 20 years, as long as the UFC has been around, around MMA, that are sponsoring fighters. Not only that, but you have so many other sponsors out there, Nike, all these other sponsors that you could potentially get. Brendan Schaub was making six figures a fight off sponsorships. When the Reebok deal came around, he only made $20,000 a fight.
Wow.
The champions in UFC usually max out only at $40,000 from Reebok. Not only that, but
wow,
Reebok is now fining guys. Nate Diaz only got paid $20,000 to show up to fight. And because he wore his jeans to the weigh-in, which has been a Diaz classic since they've been around, they show up in their jeans with their combat boots. Everyone loves it at the weigh-ins. He got fined like $10,000 for that. That's half of what he fights for. So if you're a UFC fighter and maybe you're not like Benson Henderson, a veteran, you've had the title, or even guys that are coming up, you know, prospects, stuff like that, or guys that are in the middle of the pack that are big names in Bellator and the UFC is just going to put them on random cards, stuff like that. Look at Overeem. He's a free agent right now, and Bellator just made him an offer. He might sign with the UFC because he's close to a title shot, but Overeem has to look at it. In Bellator, he not only gets all the sponsors that used to be in the UFC, and now they're no longer there, but he also has the ability to fight in Japan, maybe fight Fedor. He has freedom, basically. He could do kickboxing. He could do MMA. And pretty much he becomes the star or one of the top stars on Spike TV, which is one of the biggest channels, and actually just a Dana White move, I think. It actually, down here, down south, Spike TV got pushed up to like a premium package where you have to pay more. I think that was a little Dana White move to get at the ratings, but a guy like Overeem could be a star and fight lesser competition and make probably double the money. Right now, the UFC cannot match the offers that Bellator is offering fighters. One, because they have way too many fighters. Two, because they can't guarantee the sponsorship money that Bellator can. And three, they don't give freedom for fighters to fight elsewhere like Bellator does. Right now, this could be potentially the biggest advantage a UFC rival has ever had. And this could be the marking that turns Bellator into a pride. Back in the early UFCs, when guys were leaving left and right to go to Pride, or Strikeforce, which was really starting to compete with the UFC when it got shut down because they paid Fedor so much. But Bellator, they're running it smartly. They're signing the right guys. They're letting the sponsorship money really pay more than anything. And they're really just doing it for the ratings. They don't have a pay-per-view model. So I can't see where they're going to fail. And, I mean, look at the card they have coming up. Kimbo Slice died of 5,000. I'm sorry, I want to watch that. I mean, someone's going to get knocked out. Ken Shamrock, Royce Gracie. You can't tell me that's not going to do huge ratings. And at the end of the day, that's what Spike wants. And fighters are going to go there. Sergey Karatov, one of the best free agent heavyweights, just to touch on this real quick, he got offers from Glory because he's a kickboxer. He's a Pride veteran, probably one of the best free agent heavyweights. He got an offer from the UFC, and then he signed with Bellator. So he chose Bellator over the UFC, including Phil Davis, who did that, Benson Henderson now. And you got to think, a guy like Wanderlei got out of the UFC. He's going to be in Bellator eventually. Chris Leben probably could have got back in the UFC, but he said he didn't want to go to the UFC. So the tide is changing. Tim Kennedy came out on Twitter and said if he was a free agent, he would go to Bellator. And then he said his Twitter got hacked. Yeah, right, Tim Kennedy. And then the last factor, Andrew, is Scott Coker, that little pudgy, cute bastard. He has relationships with so many fighters through Strikeforce, the Diaz brothers, American Top Team. So many fighters came from Strikeforce. So you got to think, like, he has the advantage. And also, Bellator can now offer any free agent like Overeem and make the UFC overpay everybody. So it's just huge for the UFC or the MMA world. And I got to say one thing. If Scott Coker was running the UFC, think about how fun it would be. There would be Grand Prix tournaments every year. There would be four-man, one-night tournaments. I just think Dana White and the Fertittas have become a little too stale running the UFC. I mean, look at Dynamite, kickboxing, MMA on the same card. I just think Scott Coker is being more creative, and that's why Bellator is starting to get closer and closer to the UFC. It's not going to touch it, but it is becoming a close second, which we haven't had in a long time.
No, Ryan, we really haven't. And, I mean, again, just to, you know, follow up on what you were saying with the sponsorships, why you can't blame, that's where 80% of these people's, you know, income they make from fighting comes from, these sponsorships. I
and
mean,
think
a
about
lot
the
of
companies,
people,
too, that, you know, that's their whole business.
And I mean, you know, it's sticky too, because I feel like a lot of times with sponsorships, you get into a very personal relationship with the sponsor and the sponsoree. You know, it's not just, you know, it's not like they don't ever talk and they don't know them. So a lot of times you have a friendship too.
Yeah,
and
think
I mean,
about
a lot of,
like,
these people,
veterans could work with sponsorships for like 10 years.
Yeah, and like real, what I wanted to get at, a lot of these fighters, their show fights, you know, and for the people who don't realize, the majority of the fighters, UFC, I want to say, they have anywhere from a 15 to 30K, I'll say, to show. But how it works is you have to win to get double your money. So, you know, a lot of these people on the come up who, you know, and a lot goes into, you know, you think you got to pay your rent and everything, buy your groceries, you know, the cost of living. And the cost of training is extremely expensive, too, and, you know, time-consuming, and it takes up a lot of your effort and energy, Ryan. So it's not like a lot of these guys can work a 9-to-5 job 40 hours a week and still keep up with the demands that a mixed martial artist matters. That's a lot of money. If the sponsorship is what keeps, you know, the lights on, food in the fridge. And, I mean, you know, you're talking to some of these youngsters who maybe get a fight 2 to 3 times a year, and maybe they're not the best. And the guy, you know, he really needs to win and he loses, and he's only getting $15K for, you know, almost 6 months of work, putting in well over 40 hours. So I really do have to agree with you, Ryan. I feel like the sponsorship really opened the door.
Think about this real quick. You were just bringing up, like, a young guy. All right, he's fighting on local circuits, stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, some, you know, I don't know, some sponsorship out there, Affliction or Tap Out or something, they give him $50,000 for his next fight. If he's fighting for, like, a championship in a local promotion, or let's say they think if you go into Bellator, we'll give you $50,000 a fight, or even more. I mean, think about how much money Brendan Schaub lost from sponsorships, 6 figures to $20,000. That's probably why he retired. But young fighter, you think about it,
he makes
relationships.
He probably makes more off the podcast than the fighting deals.
Yeah, he really does. And he also can't, like, represent his own podcast. Like, you can't even represent, really, your own gym that much. Like, you can't wear your own gym's T-shirt. That's probably huge marketing for people. Check out my gym. You wear it to the weigh-in, stuff like that, like Uriah Faber with Ultimate Fitness. Oh, all these ladies will see this shirt. Oh, let's go train where Uriah trains in his hometown. No, you can't even do that anymore. And then the fact is that, you know, these guys coming up, that's why Bellator is starting to sign a bunch of young prospects like Liam McGarry, who's not trying to leave Bellator, because they've made relationships with these sponsors. And now all of a sudden, you know, if you go to the UFC, you got to tell all these sponsors that you have contracts with, oh, sorry, I can't, you know, I can't do business with you anymore. I'm going to take $5,000 a fight from Reebok because it's my first UFC fight. Are you fucking kidding me? And then the champions only make $40,000? Andrew, how long do you think until, I mean, we see Benson Henderson. He's a really big name. I mean, the guy's headlined a lot of Fox cards. He's one of the top guys in MMA, obviously. But how long do you think until, I mean, we see Conor McGregor saying, you know, McGregor promotion, stuff like that. How long until, I mean, I guess Overeem's a top 3-4 heavyweight, but like a number one contender or maybe a champion says to the UFC, I want my own sponsors or something like that, or I'm going to go to Bellator. Do you see that in the future? And do you think this could potentially be part of the UFC maybe selling to Fox and maybe the UFC not being the major powerhouse that it's been the last few years?
First of all, I would love the UFC to get sold to Fox for, yes, to get Dana out there. I think they've gone on sale. But the number one thing is just get all the big-time events. CBS, NBC, Fox, you know that's really what I want. And that would really help
make the sport even bigger.
I think where Dana with the sponsorship is where they messed up. You know, I wouldn't compare MMA to the NBA, NFL, MLB. You know, it's team. Mixed martial arts isn't quite in that.
It's an individual sport.
It is. It's not a team sport. And it's also, it's not like, you know, I shouldn't say, I'll compare it to NFL because NBA is a very star, based sport. You know what I mean? Teams,
yeah.
People hop around from teams to teams to the players they like. I'm not going to lie and pretend like I don't. I love.
And even
love
NBA and NFL
players
can get their own sponsorships.
They can. Now, the NFL is a little, you know, with the way you can promote it and whatnot. You know, with your own brand and, you know, not wearing the official sponsor of the NFL.
Yeah, on the field,
but the day before,
like the UFC does it,
yeah.
You know.
And it's a team sport. There's 53 other players. Now, granted, you know, could you imagine, you know, we saw what Peyton did and a couple people, you know, laughed about him giving Papa John a smooch after winning the Super Bowl. You kept bringing up drinking Budweiser after the win.
Peyton, a walking commercial.
It's kind of funny how he's turned into a walking endorser. But, you know, it's not like that, and it's gushed. And, folks, this is a topic we can go on and on about. I will say this. We're starting to see a shift. A shift of this magnitude isn't going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen over a month. Not even going to happen over a year. I feel like 3 to 5 years from now, if things continue this way, we can maybe really start to see some shifts in the mixed martial arts landscape. Because, I mean, the UFC has grown so big. And remember, folks, that didn't happen overnight either. It took a year for them to buy, a couple years to buy Pride, a couple years to buy Strikeforce. But, you know, in the world of business, everything's always evolving and changing. And, I mean, the data might lose his footing, but to Ryan, to move it along, there were a couple other three.
Real quick, let me just throw something in. You know, I know we're on a time limit, but I just wanted to throw this in while we're on Bellator. I just saw basically a boxer named Zhu Xing in China. He actually made his fight got through 36.5 million people watching
wow.
in China.
Wow.
And it seems like the UFC, I mean, think about the UFC in Canada. It's completely dead without GSP. They haven't even gone back there. They barely go to Brazil these days. They tried to make a push into China, and they did one event. Bellator is now going global. First off, if one company somehow gets big in China, think about how much more viewers you're going to get. It's such an open market. But do you think, thinking about Conor McGregor, in Ireland, MMA was dead before Conor McGregor. In Bellator right now, if a fighter from China or something like that, let's say, becomes champion and is just a complete badass, do you think that fighter can be as big as a Conor McGregor, or do you think you have to have that UFC logo right now behind you to be as, like, the nationality will follow, or do you think you have to be in the octagon?
Ryan, just, you know, as people as well, you know, the nationality is going to follow. That's another thing, you know, with the UFC. Mixed martial arts is a global sport. Now, America, we have been kings lately. You know, we have been the emperor. But it's a global sport, and some of the best fighters come from other countries. And if Bellator got a guy like Conor McGregor out of Japan, China, somewhere in Asia, you know what I mean? They are going to flock by the masses. And imagine how big it will get. Then you can finally have, you know, I think the country battles were great. You know, throwback. I remember when UFC, The Ultimate Fighter, the only time it had sizzle when it was the UK versus the USA.
And it's still going to sizzle with McGregor versus Faber, UK, or World versus USA.
No, I mean, how dumb is that, Ryan? A fight that, you know, we're not even going to get to see happen. I mean, I got to think of it because it's two of the best personalities in the sport. But without a doubt, Ryan, Bellator international scouting is huge. And if the fighter lives up to it, exciting, kind of like how McGregor did on the steamroll, then yeah, it's going to get big. You got to think, Ryan, I mean, with Bellator signing some of these old dogs who, you know, the mainstream fans, the average fans, the Jason Edwards of the MMA follow, and they see they go on a run. Now, they might not have been as good. Conor McGregor has fought. But, however, from a name value, from a name stake, could be more impressive just because everyone knew the names of the fighters.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to do some quick hits on MMA before we move on. First one I'm going to throw out there, Andrew Stephen, the Wonder Boy Thompson, the kid I thought was from Canada this whole time. He's from South Carolina, and I'm not homophobic, but he has a little bit of a gay smile, I gotta say, and it was pretty funny to see tough-ass country boy Johnny Hendricks, like, afterwards, like, Stephen Thompson looked like that metrosexual, like, dad that drives around a minivan and, like, you know, has a fanny pack on and shit like that, goes to karate tournaments. Then you got, you know, tough-ass country boy Johnny Hendricks. He got his ass whipped by Stephen Thompson. And this is Johnny Hendricks who beat the current champion, which you got to think Robbie Lawler and Stephen Thompson, God, what a war that would be standing up. And Johnny Hendricks, who went five rounds of champion, has knocked or beat Carlos Condit. So many wars and so many victories. Stephen Thompson absolutely destroyed him in the first round. It was a mauling. Do you think Stephen Thompson should get the welterweight title shot? And is this kind of a Anderson Silva moment for this kid? Like when Anderson destroyed Chris Leben, who was actually getting considered for a title shot when he got destroyed, kind of like Johnny Hendricks. I've never seen anyone do that to Hendricks. He showed his takedown defense. I mean, this kid with his karate style, kind of like Michael Venom Page in Bellator, just looked tremendous. Do you think he should get the title shot? Do you think this kid is potentially a future star?
He, with his exciting stand-up and takedown defense, he is definitely, you know, has the potential to be, you know, a superstar in the sport, because I feel like those are kind of the things you need to ascend to that level from entertainment's sake as well. I don't know if I can compare it to Anderson just quite yet, just because it is Anderson. I personally don't want to
like
see
an Anderson
title
Silva moment, you know, not Anderson.
Yeah,
but
it was like an Anderson Silva KO, and it was, I was shocked. I was honestly shocked, and it made me think, you know, where is Johnny mentally? Did he look past even with
Dana?
Do you
think he's done?
Johnny might be done. I mean, he got his belt. He should have beat GSP. He didn't, but he got to kick his ass. He was one, and then, you know, the rift with him and Dana. You know,
maybe he's punch drunk. Maybe he's been through too many wars.
Yeah. And it also made me think, you know, is there something else going on psychologically due to the, you know, the rift they have? And maybe Johnny was like, oh, it's Steven Thompson. I'm not worried about this. And, I mean, in MMA, that gets you beat, Ryan. However, I'm not ready to give the Wonder Boy a title shot.
Wonder Boy
like
Chris Lee Knows Best. If you ever seen that show, just look it up. Shit's hilarious if you compare
that him. That is funny, but no, I want to see another title, another fight. I don't know if Dana will give it to, you know, it's granted the state of welterweight is kind of like every other division. It's just stale, you know what I mean? It's fights we've already seen. The only fight that we haven't seen is happening is McGregor RDA. But all in all, Ryan, I think it's a little, you know, I definitely have him up there. I just don't know at this point, you know, who else you would put in, and he's kind of backing into it perfectly with everybody already have been beaten. You know, who do you have him fight next? You know what I mean?
I guess you could say a GSP comeback at 200 is like the biggest one. Carlos Condit beat Robbie Lawler. I rewatched the fight. 4 rounds to 1. Some of the worst judging I've seen. So Condit definitely deserves a rematch. But Steven Wonderboy definitely is the fresh name. I would love to see him, like, against Patrick Cote, who just got a knockout, or another big name that's a good striker, or maybe a good wrestler, just to see him get tested. John Bones Jones, we'll talk about it more on the next show, but just to mention it, officially announced for UFC 197 against Daniel Cormier. Andrew, how much does this screw over Rumble Johnson? Do you think a guy that's a cokehead and already got in trouble again for a traffic violation for driving without a license deserves to be at this high a stake of a match, even though he's probably one of the best of all time? And how big of a fight do you think it will be with John Jones coming back? Do you think he's going to be that third star, that second star behind Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey, versus Daniel Cormier, selling, you know, a lot? And I got to say, it's interesting to see, because Daniel Cormier said he wasn't there mentally, how this rematch fares. Daniel Cormier has looked incredible lately.
Yeah, Ryan, I mean, first off, Rumble,
such,
you know, we had
fight.
A chance with the title shot. You know, we fought good, and then, you know, we just saw him destroy Ryan Bader. The fact that John Jones is coming back, I can't say it screwed him over too much, because granted, he's only fought once since his loss for the belt, and the UFC needs this fight. Honestly, Ryan, in this predicament, I feel like it's a win-win for the UFC. I'll go 60-40 split in their benefit if John Jones won, just because, you know, before his suspension, he was, you know, people were saying this could be, you know, the greatest mixed martial artist of all time, the greatest MMA fighter in this era. But, you know, there's always the wild card, because at this point, John Jones is a liability. You never know what's going to happen with the guy. You know, coming, you know, it's hard battling that addiction life, keeping your nose clean, and being a millionaire, you know, and a celebrity. It's difficult. You know, being around all the women, everyone likes you, the publicity, the tons of cash. But this is a win-win, I feel like.
He needs to stay away from that Rick James, bitch.
He does. But this is a win-win. Either guy who gets the victory, I mean, if John Jones wins, it's like, all right, Jones is back. And then we get probably you know, might be stylistically the toughest fight for Jones against a Rumble Johnson and a huge, another just, I feel like that fight is going to have a little bit more sizzle to it than the rematch. But granted,
I don't know, Cormier-Jones, that rivalry, it's so good.
No, I meant a Cormier Rumble rematch. Then granted, if Cormier wins, I mean, this is a guy, huge face of the sport, great fighter. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, but wasn't his only loss to John Jones? So,
yeah,
I mean,
Olympian, great story behind him, good citizen.
So another great fighter. And if he gets this win, Ryan, you know, it's kind of like him getting the monkey off the bat.
Then you can have a third fight, too.
Down the road, you can. So, all in all, I feel like this is a win-win for the UFC, Ryan, with this fight. Real quick, one other fight.
But real quick, can I just say this? How dumb is John Jones? Literally, he gets his fight announced, and then he jumps into his car without a license and drives around and gets pulled over and gets out of it somehow. But how dumb is John Jones? I mean, come on, dude. Like, I understand you're a cokehead. Maybe you're going to celebrate, get a little bit white powder up your nose. But you're going to get behind a vehicle, which you already crashed into a pole with a bunch of females, like a Tiger Woods move, and no license. Your biggest fight, your big comeback just got announced, and you get pulled over the day after for not having a license. John Jones,
Ryan, I think dumber
is his own
about
worst
it
enemy.
Was, yeah, and I think the one thing that I thought was the stupidest thing that bugged me more, the violation, is when they brought it up to him, and he was like, I'm preparing for a title shot. You guys want to talk about traffic violations. I mean, John, it's... I mean, if you don't see how that's relevant, come on, buddy.
Yeah, maybe he needs to take that Floyd Mayweather role. Maybe that's what puts him over the top. We've talked about it in the past. I'm sure we'll talk about this more on the next show. But, you know, maybe that's the next step for Jones to get over, like, that 500,000 mark. And when people see how big John Jones has gotten, it's going to even add more to his appeal if he comes in and starts stopping people, because he looks like a pure Vitor Belfort TRT style dude right now. Whatever he's on, let's hope he doesn't beat Cormier and test positive for HGH. That would be a John Jones move, Andrew.
That might be the last straw, God. I could only imagine that really might make Dana just get a hemorrhoid. But, Ryan, I got to bring up this fighter in this fight. The kid is extremely young. He's talented, but he's just off. There's just something about him that just isn't quite right from a personality standpoint. And, Ryan, his loss was probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen, just because I've never seen someone come out, dominate like that in the first round, start to dominate in the second round, and then he tries out of nowhere, he tries a cartwheel kick, like a monkey kick. He rolled on his hands and ding, ding, ding. Now, Ryan, whenever I tell you, first of all, he lost to a dude named Barbarino.
160,000 UFC.
Shane Barbarino. Another thing that hurt them, you know, Sage Northcutt was starting to get kind of that Paige Van Zandt, you know, hype up. The kid
is
only 19. The kid is only 19, though, and I do think, you know, when it's all said and done, he'll have a pretty decent career.
I just don't think he's
getting
tough
one
enough.
Title shot. Ryan, that submission where it wasn't even locked in all the way.
Not at all.
The dude had him in hat. He didn't even have locked in all the way. And then after the loss, he came out and said he had real bad strep throat.
Oh, my God. Come on.
And, you know, Barbarino called it on him, and he lost.
Muhammad
honestly,
Ali fought 13
say,
rounds with a broken jaw. This is how I have to remind fighters of their excuses. Stop.
Strep throat. I mean, strep. I was going to say, is like that. That's what I was going to say just to get it in case we get cut off. Sage Northcutt is what I hate about mixed martial arts this week.
I love it.
But he's super talented, but a bitch. But, Ryan, what are your thoughts with where Sage goes from here? especially when you look at a casual fan like myself. Well, I'm a pretty hardcore fan, but, you know, as myself, Ryan, this was the first time I watched Sage, actually watched him fight live. And he looked phenomenal in the beginning, and he got beat by someone who had no business being in the ring with him. And he was not, what does this, you know, what does this do to the trajectory that Sage Northcutt's career was on? And what do you do to try and fix this? I mean, he just lost to a no-name, and he pretty much lost because he was soft.
This is where the UFC screwed up by not keeping Strikeforce around or Pride. That's where you would send a Sage Northcutt. You know, go there, beat up some guy. I mean, you can't get lower than his opponent already was. I was going to say, you know, give him some easy wins. But he fought a lightweight with a belly the size of Roy Nelson. Are you fucking kidding me? You can't get any worse than that guy. Who choked him out with a, you know, arm triangle that wasn't even locked in. And you say it's because of strep throat. I'm sorry, I've had strep throat. I still wouldn't tap in a UFC fight. Maybe I'm a weekend warrior. I don't care if you call me that. But all that on the line, I would not tap in a half triangle choke. I've been putting them before.
It would be one thing if he had a decent submission and it was in.
If it was fully in, I could see. But it wasn't even in.
How he got taken down was pretty
maybe
laughable.
Maybe his hair gel
too.
Was binding him and got in his throat or something. Maybe that
was
it.
Why would you try that move, Ryan? Because, I mean, you train in fighting. You know. How can you generate that much power in a kick from the palms of your hands? Like, if you're going to kick, so it's kind of like a fake punch.
First off, if you're going to try that, try a spinning kick where you land like Badri Hari did against Stefan Letko, where he landed, on the back of his foot, you know, that spinning heel kick. If you're going to try that, do that. Like, that technique, a spinning wheel kick or whatever it's called, that's something people do to set up leg locks or something like Ruslan Palares would do to set up a leg lock on a guy. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're not conditioned, which clearly he was gassed out in the second round, which is humiliating for a lightweight, or I guess he was welterweight in this fight.
Especially with someone with his physique, because he's pretty fucking ripped.
Yeah, and you got to say, you know, they're saying right now that 80% of the fighters are on HGH. I'm sorry, but a regular white dude, maybe he has super genetics and everything, but that kid's on something because he is another,
he's too big and jacked at 19, and his dad got
looked up pictures of apes, which Wanderlei Silva kind of looked like an ape when he was in Pride, but look up pictures of either Wanderlei Silva in Pride or apes. And that's pretty much the muscle that Sage Northcutt has. You can't even call him jacked. He's like a bigger than jacked. But yet all that stuff, like, it goes away because he talks like Tim Tebow and he's a nerd and he doesn't fight good. So that's my thoughts on him. Andrew, real quick, any last words? We'll talk about the Super Bowl and recruiting on the next show.
Just real quick, I do have to tap my hat and salute Peyton Manning, DeMarcus Ware, and Vernon Davis. DeMarcus Ware was probably the only one out of those three that I just named that deserved a Super Bowl ring from his play, how good he was. However, you know, see Peyton going out on top, you know, it's huge for your legacy to be 2-2 in the Super Bowl as opposed to 1-3. So I got to tip my cap to him, DeMarcus Ware getting the ring, and Vernon Davis, someone who I've loved his entire NFL career, being in San Francisco. Him getting a ring, I was happy for it. That kind of sucked because he didn't do anything in the game, but very happy to see those guys get a ring.